Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warning is explicit sexual content.
And I have a Apple review, and this one comes from Jules 0823. And it says, this little rat is obsessed. Recently discovered this pod and can't stop cackling and squealing while listening to these girlies. A true gem. You're a true gem.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jules.
Thank you. And this week we're telling Riley all about Romanced by the Rat by GM Fairy. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 4.
Oh my God.
Right. I liked it.
Listen, it was very entertaining and I love GM Fairy. I should have known where it was going. I just don't think I was expecting it. It was wonderful though.
Okay. I gave this a 3.5. And I will say that is mainly because I was tandem reading Eldritch by Carrie Lake, which was like a 6-star for me. So like when I'm reading a very serious book and then I'm reading a silly book, I'm like, take me back. But it was very, very, very entertaining. And I love everything that GM Fairy writes.
So. I was going to say, we love our girl GM Fairy here.
Ramsey is just waking up after volunteering to be part of a military science experiment. He only did it for the week of rest beforehand and the good meals offered to him, but he was the only person who volunteered.
Oh.
Because everyone else was like, I'm not fucking doing that. But yeah. He wanted that free food.
Why is he hungry?
Well, he has to eat like shitty military meals.
Yeah, he's over the MREs.
Yeah. The drugs he was given were supposed to heighten his senses to enhance espionage abilities, but when he opens his eyes, the sterile white room seems huge. He rubs his face and it seems kind of fuzzy.
Oh my God.
He goes to stand up, but his legs are wobbly, and he catches a glimpse of his reflection in the metal floor. But it's not the floor. It's a metal table, and it's huge. And that's when he realizes he's a fucking rat.
What the fuck?
He thinks he's gone insane and he simply can't process what the fuck is going on. He's stoked when he realizes he can climb hella good and he gets down and scurries into an air vent.
Oh, I bet that'd be fun as fuck to scurry.
Oh, he scurries.
Yeah, I feel like that would be so fun to just scurry around.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. As soon as he's inside the vent, he hears voices inside the room asking where the fuck Ramsey is. They're the scientists who did this to him. One of them is like, it's fine, dude. We were just going to dispose of him anyway. But now we know that this works. Next time, we'll make sure they can communicate. And then after that, we'll figure out how to change them back.
Oh my God. So that's what he volunteered for?
To be turned into a rat. That was their espionage plan. Turn people into rats.
Damn.
Also, we love rats.
Yeah, yeah, we do. Horny little rats over here.
The scientists decide that since he's just a rat who can't talk to anyone, it's fine to just let him go. Ramsey runs through the vent and finds his way out of the building. When he makes it out to the grass, he is positively starving, and his little rodent instincts get him to take a big old bite out of an earthworm slithering by.
Did he like it?
He didn't hate it.
He didn't hate it, but he was like disgusted with himself.
Well, you're a rat now. You gotta do rat things.
Yeah. I mean, he's ashamed, but he tells himself he's gotta do what he's gotta do.
Yeah.
He journeys for days trying to make it back to civilization to find a way out of this mess. But now he's just lost in the forest. Then he smells a heavenly scent and he sees a lone house. The sign says Ratcliffe's Fine French Dining. He tells himself between the smell and the name of the restaurant, it's almost like he doesn't have a choice but to head on in to find some food. Meanwhile, Jeremy is being trained on Ratcliffe's big-ass wine list. but his memory is dog shit and he's failing miserably. He got this job to pay for his dream of being a bodybuilder, and his job at the supplement store just isn't paying enough.
Damn, GMC.
Yeah.
He lied and said he used to work at a country club and then used his good looks to get through the interview. And now here he is. And his trainer, Trisha, is not pleased because he's like dumb as fuck.
Of course.
Also, this town is called Ghostlight Falls and it's filled with supernaturals, which was very fun. They're making a series about everything that goes on in Ghostlight Falls now. He's thrown to the wolves and told to serve a table of four, two ghost parents with their two teenage ghost kids. He fumbles the drink orders and then slams into another waiter, sending water all over himself. And now he's soaking wet and embarrassed. As he's sulking away to go find a new shirt and apron to put on, he sees a smoking hot lady walk in the front door. As he goes to the closet in the back to change, he swears he hears something scurrying around and screams while running out. He runs into Trisha, the trainer, and says he swears there's some sort of animal in the closet, but she just thinks he's high or something. And then we learn that the smoking hot hottie is named Charlotte.
Oh.
And she's always wanted to go to France, but will settle for Ratcliffe's for now. She gets a table for one and immediately notices the soaking wet, ripped, haughty waiter running to the back of the restaurant. He's got her clenching her thighs, but she knows she probably just needs to get laid. The only men she's ever been with have been secret quickies in the church supply closet, so she's never really had a good fuck.
Oh.
Four.
She's 21 and just ran away from her strict-ass parents' house after refusing to go to med school. So she's new to town and she's hoping to find a man to take her home and bang her properly.
Yeah.
She looks around the restaurant and is trying to come to terms that the new town she just moved to is actually filled with supernaturals and that there are a ton of non-human-looking patrons in this restaurant. Trisha takes her order and then she hears a bang and the hot server is flat on the ground surrounded by a spilled bowl of salad.
Wow, he does suck at his job.
He's like really bad at his job.
It's horrible.
She observes him and feels kind of sorry for him. Also, she wants to fuck him. And I want you to guess what she orders. It's her favorite dish.
I don't know anything about French cuisine.
Just take a guess, like the movie.
Ratatouille.
Yeah, she orders the ratatouille. And it's the best ratatouille she's ever had. And she closes her eyes and moans when she takes a bite.
Let me guess, the rat made it.
No, he doesn't really cook.
Oh.
He does other things.
He does other stuff. Oh. She opens her eyes and sees the hot waiter is staring at her intensely because she's having like an orgasm just eating this ratatouille.
She's a foodie.
Their eye contact is broken by something scurrying past Charlotte's peripherals, and now she's hoping that Ratcliffe's doesn't have rats. A few days pass, and Ramsay is exploring the restaurant and getting used to being a rat, but he can't keep his eyes off of Jeremy. He's super attractive, but he fucking sucks at being a waiter.
God, does he need direction? Someone to lead? The thought sends a shiver down my spine and a twitch to my tiny rat penis. Oh yeah, I have a rat penis now. Every man dreams of a bigger dick. Being turned into a rat is too many layers of fucked up, but having essentially a micro penis, it's a new level of despair. I've always wanted a micro penis book.
Smaller than a micro penis.
He thinks to himself that Jeremy probably has a big dick. He doesn't know why he can't get his mind off of this guy's dick. He doesn't know if he hates him or if he envies him. But then the smoking hot hottie from the other night walks in the restaurant again, and Ramsay feels a jolt of jealousy at how much she catches Jeremy's attention. Ramsay was never good with women when he was a human, and Jeremy is just naturally good with the ladies. And this woman is obscenely beautiful. Ramsay is becoming obsessed with her. When he sees that Jeremy will be the one serving her, he panics because he doesn't want Jeremy's awful serving skills to scare her away from coming to Ratcliffe's. Jeremy and Charlotte exchange names and he takes her drink order, Pinot Noir. And he's like, that's wine, right? Like, are you fucking stupid?
Everyone knows that's wine.
And she's like, yeah, it's red wine. And he finger guns at her and walks away. He's like, you got it.
I love that. Yeah.
Ramsay is watching all of this play out and he's like, is that how Jeremy flirts? Because what the fuck was that? He brings back her wine and winds up spilling it all down the front of her dress. He tries to rub it off, but he just winds up touching her boob.
Oh my God.
I would be like, get away from me.
Yeah, yeah, you big dumb idiot.
He apologizes and she tells him it's okay. But then he's like, your dinner's on me and I'll go get you another server so I don't fuck your meal up. She goes to reach for him to tell him it's really okay, but he's already storming off, hella embarrassed. And now Ramsay is determined to figure out a way to guide this hopeless man.
It's been another week at the new job, and Jeremy still isn't getting the hang of it. He clocks in that day wondering if it's going to be his last day because none of his coworkers will even look at him. They're literally like, I can't talk to this fucking moron.
Yeah, I would fucking hate him.
Then the hostess lets him know that he has a table with a party of one who specifically requested him. He peeks around the corner and sees that it's Charlotte, and he does not understand why she would come back, but he goes to put his stuff away. As he's putting his stuff in the locker, he hears a voice and it tells him, I won't stand by and watch you fuck it up with her, Jeremy. He's like, who is that? And the response says, God.
It's me, God.
He tells the voice to fuck off and then he goes out to serve Charlotte. It's kind of an awkward exchange and he excuses himself to go get her water. And in the back, the voice again tells him that they just want to help. The voice tells him to go to her table, mention that she looks very lovely tonight, and then asks if she wants her normal, the Pinot Noir and Ratatouille. Jeremy decides, fuck it, I'll listen to the voice, see what happens. So he does what he's told. Only when he gets to the table, again, he's a moron. He says, do you want the Pinot Narwhal? And she's like, haha, you're so funny. He's like, yeah, and like goes and leaves.
He's like, so do you?
He goes to get her wine, but again in the back the voice says that he's an idiot and clearly needs the help because he can't even remember what wine is. Jeremy agrees for the help and the voice shows itself. Out steps a small rat. Jeremy screams like a girl and backs away, and then the rat starts talking. It explains that he used to be a human in the military, but got scammed into a science experiment and is now a rat. Jeremy's like, that checks out in this town. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Jeremy lets the rat know that he does not have a good memory, so he can't woo Charlotte without the little guy helping him out. So they grab a hat, shove the rat on his head, put the hat on. He learns that the rat's name is Ramsey, and as soon as Ramsey pulls some of his hair, Jeremy's body moves like a little puppet. They get the wine and head back to the table, and Ramsey tells Jeremy to ask her out, so Jeremy does. She pauses, and he thinks that he made a mistake, but she ends up saying yes. They plan to go to a picnic tomorrow. They finish Jeremy's shift, and for once, he doesn't fall, spill, or break anything, and he actually makes some decent tips. So he was making like not even $100 a night because he would spill and break shit. But that night he made $300.
Slay.
He even offers to split it with Ramsey. And Ramsey's like, I'm a fucking rat.
Yeah, what the fuck am I gonna do with it?
The next day, Jeremy stops by the restaurant to pick Ramsey up and places him under a baseball cap that he MacGyvered to have like little eye holes and stuff for the rat.
I'm just wondering how that looks like on his head.
You know those guys that like wear the hats, but they don't pull the hat down all the way, so it just makes their head look oblong?
Yeah.
I imagine that.
Yeah.
They get to the picnic meetup spot, park the car, and then head to the trail where they'll meet Charlotte. The picnic is at the falls, and Jeremy is nervous.
Calm down, dipshit, I whisper, cringing at the rapid cadence of his voice. His shoulders roll back, and he takes an indistinguishable breath. He does well with direction, never fights me, and calms the moment I give an order. It makes my rat dick hard. But that's probably just because it's been centuries since I've gotten laid. My rat dick.
Jeremy meets Charlotte. They make small talk. He learns she just moved here and he starts immediately trauma dumping about him living in Ghostlight Falls his whole life, how he's a bodybuilder, but it's hard to make money to support the dream of that. And Ramsey says, shut the fuck up and ask about her.
Yeah.
Quit talking.
Yeah.
He tries to do that, but she's actually really interested in the bodybuilding part and she's a little too interested. So it's a bit sexually charged now. Ramsey is jealous at the chemistry, and then a loud clap of thunder happens and it starts pouring rain. Ramsey is annoyed that Jeremy did not check the weather and tells him to grab their stuff and head under the falls. Jeremy does what he's told like a good boy and they run under the water into a cavern. They're soaking wet and he immediately regrets listening until she laughs and tells him that this is the best date she's ever had. He passes her the picnic blanket to dry off and their hands touch and the sexual charge is back. They kiss and it deepens as Ramsey moves Jeremy's hands to her breasts.
Because he's just pulling his hair, calling the shots. Yeah.
Ramsay pinches her nipple and she grinds harder against me. Jesus Christ, I murmur against her lips. Something about having my body used like a puppet rewires my brain. I want Ramsay to use me at his will, to pleasure her, and maybe even to pleasure himself, as fucked up as it sounds.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
He's a rat.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I want this little rat on top of me to pleasure himself.
They kiss and he continues with some nipple play.
A small cry comes from above me and a warm wetness seeps against my scalp.
They never elaborate on that. That is never brought up again.
Rat cum.
Yeah.
Charlotte pulls back, suggesting that they stop. Jeremy agrees, and then she mentions having their second date at her place tomorrow. They head back to their vehicles, ending the first date. The next day, Charlotte is stressing about her messy apartment when the doorbell rings. Jeremy's there and she apologizes for the mess, but again, she just moved and has not unpacked. He offers to help her unpack, and apparently this is the sexiest thing that a man can ever say to this woman, because she launches herself at him and starts kissing him, forcing her tongue down his throat.
I'd say no. You have no idea where I want anything to go.
He's into this, though, and tries to be a gentleman, asking if she's sure she wants to do this. She says, fuck their dinner plans, and leads him to her bedroom. Once his shirt is off, she compares him to a Greek god and thinks to herself, please don't have a small dick.
Oh my god, I hope he does.
When his pants and boxers come off, though, she's happy about it.
My eyes shift from his beautiful face to his package as I release him. There must be a god, and I must be one of his favorites, because his dick is perfect. Large, almost dangerously so, lined with veins and a shade of pink that matches his pouty lips.
Does the dick tip match the lip?
Like how they say, like, our nipples match your lip color?
My lips are white.
You got some pale nippies or what?
I mean, on the outside, I guess. I guess they're pink on the inside. I don't know.
Ah, why are we talking about this?
Wait, are we talking about nipples or lips?
Pussy lips.
Oh, I thought we were talking about nipples.
I thought we were talking about nipples, too.
Oh.
I was like, the inside.
You guys. Oh, my God. You guys. I thought you were saying pussy lips and nipples.
No one was talking about pussy lips.
And the reason I thought that was because we were saying penis.
She immediately drops to her knees and starts giving him a blowjob. Just as he's about to come, she hears squeaking.
Oh my god.
But Jeremy pulls her off and kisses her and then puts her on the bed on all fours. They agree they're both clean, she's on the pill, and then they raw dog their first time and it's amazing.
Oh my god, don't do that.
Yeah, not safe.
Once they finish, she swears she hears a third sigh. So like they both sigh and then she hears like another ah.
Oh my god. Ramsay came again.
He's a horny little rat.
Charlotte is at the restaurant the next day watching Jeremy. They pass notes back and forth while he works, but of course, Ramsay is the one actually writing them in the back. Which, also, he's a rat. The pen is going to be like...
I know.
Huge.
He's trying his best.
He is. The notes start innocent and get progressively riskier, and it makes his rat dick hard.
Oh, ugh.
This goes on all night until the restaurant closes. He watches her grin at Jeremy, saying that she'll see him tomorrow for their dinner date at his apartment. Again, Jeremy has no idea what the notes say, so he asks Ramsay what dinner she's talking about. And he's not mad. He just would like to know what was said, so he's prepared to not look like an idiot when she mentions something. Ramsay says the only thing he should be worried about is getting her to come more than once tomorrow. Jeremy laughs, saying that's only in porn, and Ramsay's like, no, it's not. And now they have some weird sexual tension going on, but it breaks when Jeremy says, okay, I'll pick you up tomorrow, bye.
The rat, stop it.
Yeah, I'm like, you have sexual tension with a rat?
I mean, he used to be a man.
I know, but he's a rat.
Yeah. But, like, can you fault him for that?
Jeremy never knew him as a human, only a rat.
But he's like a suave rat.
Yeah, I mean, he is.
He does have game.
Also, the rats came in his hair multiple times. Like,
yeah. They are one.
They are, yeah.
Jeremy's apartment is clean, Ramsay's picked up, and they have all the ingredients to make homemade pizza with Charlotte. But Jeremy can't help but look at Ramsey and their relationship a little bit differently now. He was never attracted to men before, and he's certainly not attracted to a rat. But he knows he's attracted to Ramsey as a soul, not a rat. The things that Ramsey says, how he talks.
Oh my God.
How he helps him do things better. And he doesn't want to be without the little guy now. There's a knock at the door and Ramsey gets under the baseball hat and they let Charlotte in. They get to work making their pizzas, and once they're in the oven, they don't know what to do.
Slowly walk toward her, push her legs apart, pull her panties to the side, and eat her pussy. It sounds so vulgar coming from his mouth, but it's actually what my dick begs me to do. I have an idea, I say in a low, husky tone, walking toward her.
She's already sitting on the counter, so it makes it easy for Jeremy to follow the directions. But before he can start munching away, Ramsey whispers,
"Now blow on her cunt. I want to see it clench." I watch and peer wonder as her legs shake and her pussy seeps more liquid. Seeps. I want to see it clench. Yeah, that is vulgar coming from a rat.
He's got a front row seat.
He does.
Yeah.
Then he starts eating her out and doesn't notice that his hat falls off until she starts screaming, and it's not from an orgasm.
Oh, no.
She exclaims that there's a rat on his head. He's like, "Oh, yeah, that's just Ramsey."
Oh, my God.
And she's like, "Excuse me?" He explains to her that Ramsey used to be a man in the military, science experiment gone wrong, yada, yada, yada. And he helps me function day to day to be a better person and to connect with you. And she's like, fucking weird. Nope.
She's like, "I gotta go."
She gets dressed, leaves, and now Ramsey's like, smooth, and they just lost their dream girl.
Damn.
Ramsey shows up at Charlotte's apartment all alone with a little small bouquet of wildflowers in his little paws.
Oh, cute.
Because he's a rat, his knock is not heard. But have no fear. Just when he's about to give up, the door opens and out comes Charlotte. She still doesn't see him until he says, "Hey, you, stop."
Do you think he sounds like a man or like squeaky?
I think he sounds like
squeaky.
A
man.
Oh my God, that's scary. A man's voice coming from a rat.
GM, let us know. What is the rat's voice like?
Yes, please.
She screams, but he tells her he's only here to apologize. She wants nothing to do with him, but he's like, "At least let me help you set up your apartment. It's the least I can do." She's like, "Bro, you're literally a rat. Like, I'm not sure how much help you can be."
I can't deny that the words sting, but I don't blame her. She doesn't know me. To her, I'm the creepy little rodent that stared into the depths of her vagina. You were, yeah.
She ultimately agrees and he gets to work. Somehow, he managed to set up her whole apartment. Like, he put together an entire entertainment center.
You're bullshitting me.
He even hung picture frames, Riley.
Yeah. He works hard.
Fake news. GM Ferry, I'm drawing the line at that. There's no way this little fucking rat unpacked a whole apartment. I'm drawing the line there.
As she's watching him work, they finally break the silence and start knowing more about each other. She's like, "Okay, so you're some creepy talking rat who is besties with a human and share women?" He's like, "No, I met Jeremy when I was hiding as a rat. He was trying and failing to impress you, and he knew that he had to help him because the first time that he laid eyes on Charlotte, he like knew deep down that she was special to him. He can't have her, but Jeremy can, and he just wants her to be happy. He admits at first he was just doing this for her, but now he's kind of got it bad for Jeremy too. He knows he overstepped, but Jeremy's a good guy, and she should really give him another chance." She nods, and he excuses himself, telling her goodbye, and with one last look, he can tell she's crying.
After a conversation with the rat.
I really want to know what his voice sounds like.
I know. Me too.
Imagine it's squeaky, though, and he was like, "Now pull her panties to the side. Blow on her pussy."
That's what I can't picture it like that, because that's weird.
5 minutes after Ramsey left, there's a knock on her door, and it's Jeremy. He apologizes, and when he sees her apartment completely finished, he's like, "Oh, yeah, that was Ralph Ramsey," and he's gagged. He's like, "What? He did all of that?"
Yeah, I bet he's also like, "He didn't fucking do that. You're lying."
Maybe he's also got super strength.
Maybe. He has to then. No, he literally has to.
He was a science experiment.
Yeah.
He hung a picture frame on the wall.
Walk me through it.
Maybe he has the strength per body mass of like an ant.
Okay.
And he can just lift shit up and you just put it on his little back and scurry it up the wall.
Okay. Maybe. You're right. I'll let it be.
Jeremy admits to Charlotte that Ramsay did help a lot in the beginning, but once he got comfortable, he wanted Ramsay to be there because he enjoyed the direction Ramsay gave him, and he really likes his company.
I know he's a rat, but he's also not. He's a man. Yeah.
Charlotte's like, damn, he basically admitted to being turned on by a rat, but I kind of get it. All this honesty is really turning her on, and she's starting to really like Jeremy. He leans in and gives her a smooch, and then they start making out and start bumping and grinding, and homegirl is getting hella soaked. They both get naked and are ready to do the deed.
Fuck, Charlotte, I need you. It's desperate, begging almost. He gives shallow thrusts, but I'm already so wet, my body is accepting his size readily. He moves deeper, and I nearly lose my mind at the sensation.
They have some bomb-ass sex, but Charlotte can't help but feel that something's missing. Ramsay.
Oh my goodness.
We can't do this without the rat.
I want you to put your hat back on with the rat.
Your rat hat.
Yeah.
The next day at work, Jeremy finds a note under his car keys, and it's Ramsay breaking up with him.
What the fuck? Why?
Because he thinks that they're just better off without him, because he's a rat, and he can't have sex.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of right.
He can be their pet. What are you talking about, Ramsay?
But he helps them fuck.
They're polyamorous.
What kind of fulfillment could Ramsay get out of a relationship with them?
They could rub his little dick for him.
Oh my God. No, but they're not into bestiality. They're not attracted to him as a rat.
I know. I don't know.
He can use his own paws to rub his dick while he watches.
So he just has to be a cuck for the rest of his life?
I guess so.
Hey, he's in a really good position compared to other rats.
Yeah.
Jeremy had to work his first solo ship without Ramsay, and he missed him so much.
Who would have thought that just a few weeks with a rat pulling my hair, I'd be so addicted to his direction? Yeah, because you're fucking stupid. And the rat made you smarter.
Jeremy decided to put together a cute private candlelit dinner for Charlotte to apologize again. And although Ramsay isn't with them, he really hopes he's watching. The convo between them is kind of stiff and awkward. And Charlotte tells Jeremy she understands why he chose to include Ramsay in their escapades.
Oh, that's kind of a burn.
Yeah.
He's just so commanding, so sure of himself, even as a rat. He's still a man deep inside.
What about the one guy that like shoved a gerbil up his butt or something? They could do that with him.
Who did that? It was like a famous person, right?
Yeah.
Did the gerbil die?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I'm upset.
It was Richard Gere.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I think it's like a rumor.
Yeah, I don't think it's like confirmed nor denied.
That's a terrible rumor to have about yourself.
I guess she could also use the rat to, like, rub one off, you know?
What do you mean?
Oh, my God, I feel like you'd kill the rat.
Shelby's saying, jerk your dick while holding the rat.
No, her, Charlotte.
Oh.
Rub his fur on her clit?
Putting the rat up her...
No, not up. Just rubbing it against.
Ew.
Rats are dirty.
He's not.
They're not into bestiality. They don't want to fuck a rat.
They're not fucking a rat. He's just part of it. But they're not fucking him.
He just helps them fuck.
Charlotte asks if they get together, if he would be happy with just the two of them. Immediately he says yes, not wanting to lose her. But deep down, he knows he would want Ramsay there. So he decides to be honest. Surprisingly, Charlotte feels the same. She tells him she's game to have Ramsay be a part of their tryst. Matter of fact, she needs him.
I think they're just not compatible at all.
Literally. She's probably like, you're boring as fuck without him.
Yeah.
Please bring him back. You're just hot. That's why I'm with you.
Ramsay's watching all this go down from the ceiling rafters as Charlotte and Jeremy are on their hands and knees searching for him. They're like, Ramsay, where are you? He's at war because they accept him, but he doesn't accept himself. He's a rat. He can't be part of a trio.
Guess you can.
Ramsay makes himself known and asks how this would even work. They said, easy, you'll be our leader, Jeremy will be the vessel, and you can play out all your desires. He's going to be considered an equal in this relationship.
Jeremy steps next to Charlotte. She's not the only one who feels this way. I like you, Ramsay, more than a friend, more than a human should like a rat. If this situation is all we have, I don't want to be without it.
Ramsay says, twist my arm. Okay. They all sit down and eat ratatouille together, and Ramsay's in great spirits. That is, until his stomach sours and the world tilts, and then everything goes black.
Rat poison.
He was poisoned.
With the ratatouille?
Yeah.
He wakes up in a bed and goes to run his paw down his face when he realizes he has hands again.
What the fuck?
He calls for Charlotte and she runs into the room, taking in his butt-ass naked form. Both Charlotte and Jeremy are drooling over sexy ass Ramsay. They try to figure out how he became normal again, and Jeremy has a brainstorm idea, and he's like, whoa, what if the ratatouille cured you of your ratness?
Oh my god.
It was so obvious the whole time.
Charlotte, ever the realist, tells them they don't know how much time they have left, so they better get to fucking right away. They're like, yeah, whatever, let's fuck.
None of them are asking questions, nothing. They're just like, cool, you have a real dick now, let's go. Is that what you both want? To fuck me as a man? Ramsay, I don't want to fuck a rat. I wanted the you on the inside. You're not just a man, you're you. Before I have time to argue, he pushes forward, grabbing my face and pulling my lips to his. It's my first kiss with a man, my first kiss in so fucking long, and it's almost too much. My hands find his neck, pulling him closer to me.
And they were boys.
Oh, I was gonna see that.
Charlotte climbs over to Ramsay and gets on her knees. She's ready to enforce the Gluck Gluck 3000, and Ramsay admits he doesn't know how long he'll last.
Shouldn't be a problem. You're a pro at coming more than once, after all.
Ramsay's filled with need and wants them both bad, especially Jeremy.
It's weird how much I want to feel him, lick him, take him until he's hitting the back of my throat. Oh my god.
He's a horny rat. Ramsay starts stroking Jeremy and is hot with need.
I just play, running my fingers over his tip, feeling his bulging veins down his shaft. I think we might be the same size, I whisper into his lips. I'll have to feel for myself. Oh my god, they're just both like, I've never been with a man, but now they're like, I'm gonna feel your dick. Crazy.
Ramsay comes violently in Charlotte's mouth.
Jeremy whispers into my ear, that's a good boy, come for us. So much cum in her tiny little mouth.
Ramsay tells Jeremy he's gonna give him another lesson, a pussy-eating lesson. Jeremy's jerking it while Ramsay's munching on Charlotte. As Ramsay's having some delectable dessert, he grabs Jeremy and starts jerking him himself. They switch out positions and end up doing a cutesy Eiffel Tower moment, per Ramsay's order, of course.
They're my perfect little playthings, and I don't even have to pull hair to get them to do what I want.
This is the first time Ramsay has felt complete. Ramsay slips out a, God, I love you too. And surprisingly, they both return the heartfelt sentiment.
They're in love.
Everything is perfect until Ramsay feels the world starting to fade away again. It's months later, and Ramsay now works at the restaurant. When he's in his human form, his name is now Romeo. Romeo says he has a medical condition, and that condition is him occasionally turning into a rat. So if it flares up at work, Jeremy takes over for him, and they are ever the team. Charlotte still goes to the restaurant almost every night to watch her men work, and then they all leave together to go home and get their freak on.
I'm so goddamn full. Last time I was sure Ramsay's giant cock would split me in two, but this time is perfect. Better than perfect. Out of this fucking world. Oh, he's got a giant cock. Nice.
It's 6 months later, and they still can't get enough of each other. There is one thing different, though. They have evolved. Or rather, Ramsay has.
That's right. Good boy. I'll tell you both when you're allowed to come again. His smooth tail slides against my thigh, moving upwards and around my body to Charlotte underneath me as she holds herself up on all fours. Her pussy clamps around me and I cry out. Ramsay must have used his rat tail to play with her clit. Wait, is he like giant now?
Just a giant rat? He's just Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Scary. I don't like that.
2 months ago, Ramsay kept his human form, but also some of his rat form. He now has a human-sized rat tail on his human body, but none of them are complaining. The end.
A human-sized rat tail? No, thank you.
She could have been doing that with his rat body.
His hairy little rat body.
Ew. So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I give it 3.5.
Okay.
Swamp is still my favorite.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's so good. But yeah, it was good. I liked it. Cutesy. Funny. Cute.
Do you think that Ramsay and or Jeremy are sexy?
No. Jeremy's just too dumb. And then Ramsay's a rat, but like kind of not a rat. I don't know. I guess Ramsay could be a little bit.
Would you trade places with Charlotte?
Why not? Nothing bad happens. Sounds like she's having a good time. Sure.
She is. Yeah.
She got to go to Paris.
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah.
But how alarming would it be if a guy was going down on you and then his hat came off and there was a fucking rat on his head?
Yeah, that would be terrifying.
Yeah. Well, next week we're telling Riley all about Jack's Head by Siggy Shade, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Okay. So it's got like a ghosty little pumpkin head on the cover. I think it's going to be paranormal. It's going to be Halloween time, fall, harvest. And I think that the female main character
is going to be in this ghosty little town doing some festivities. And she's going to meet this paranormal ghost man. And he's a scary ghost man, does bad things. They're going to do festivities together. She's not going to know he's bad at first. But then she finds out. And then she does something bad with him. And they bang, of course. And then they go to an underground lair under a cornfield.
It's not corn, Daddy.
Okay, under a pumpkin patch. And then there's a lair under there. And they do things in there. How'd I do?
You were like kind of close. I want to say there is a lair.
It's kind of a lair.
And there is like a ghost man who's bad.
Can I see?
You're pretty good.
Thank you.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.